Welcome to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast, a deep dive into biblical leadership with pastor and author, Dr. Gerald Brooks.
Hi, this is Gerald Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. I realize that this is one of those minutes that a lot of you sort of speed forward and try to get to the message, but I'm asking you to just pause a minute and let me talk to you. I have three roundtables coming up, January 25th here in Plano, Texas, February 2nd in Puyallup, Washington, and then February 27th in Orlando, Florida. Now, over the years, God has just sort of pushed me to share things with pastor. During COVID, God really pushed me to give pastors courage that it was all right to open their churches. And then God directed me to really speak to churches about being the church and not just having the doors open, but really going full guns into the context of being the church that God created them to be. That being said, this year God's put something else on my heart, and that is that for a church to get bigger, the team has to get better. Now, over the years, I've really shied away from a lot of the team concepts of teaching because I had other people that would come with me and do that. But this year, I'm going to do a lesson on how to make your team better, and it's 12 principles. And what I want to say to you is I really think for some of you, this is going to be a key. If you're going to develop your church, you are going to have to get your team better because as much as you grow, they become an anchor if they're not able to grow equally. So we're going to dive into sort of the high-low concept of team. High, what it looks like from heaven's view. Low, what it looks like from earthly view, and how to tie those two together. And so I want to encourage you, if you're near Plano, you're in Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, get to the round table in Plano. You're around the Northwest, please come to Puyallup. And then also February 27th in Orlando. You can sign up at all of these at my webpage, GeraldBrooksMinistries.com. I do want to take a moment and talk to you about one of those necessary gifts that every leader has to have. And whether it's a gift or not, it's for sure a responsibility. And that is the ability to spot talent. The ability to spot talent. So let me put it in these terms. Every leader has to be a talent scout. They have to be able to look and begin to ascertain who out there has talent and how can they begin to engage that talent and how can they inspire that talent and utilize that talent to do something that's really, really meaningful. And the struggle is there's nothing worse than looking for people that you think have talent only to discover that they don't. Looking for people that you think have game, but then you walk into it and you discover that they don't. Well, all that being said, what would be our baseline for spotting talent? How do we become, as a leader, a talent scout? How do we do that effectively, efficiently, where we're not pouring dollars, we're not pouring time, we're not pouring energy into non-productive individuals, but we have a higher chance of getting ROI, return on investment, our time, our energy, our heart, our resources, that we get a better ROI on people. Well, I was thinking about that and I thought there was no one better at really discovering talent than Jesus. And Jesus was able to see talent that other people overlooked. Now, of course, he had an innate ability because of who he was, even though he did not walk and his deity while he was on earth, he walked with a certain awareness that is greater than I have and greater than you have. But I do believe in some of his spotting talent, there's some skill sets, some principles, there's some ideas that we can begin to extrapolate from what he did. So I want to take you to Luke chapter 5, and I want to walk you through when he spotted talent and a couple of individuals. And I want us to look and to see maybe these criteria are the ones that help us to be able to spot talent around us. So in verse 2, it says that Jesus had been preaching and the multitude of people had just grown a little bit. People wanting to hear what he said. They're hanging on every word, and so they begin to push forward. You can imagine you're on a lakeside, and the nature of a lake is the lakes are in the low point, and there's usually an incline going up, and people have been on the incline. Jesus is in the low spot. People can see him. People can hear him, but more people come, so they keep pressing forward, and it was getting to the place that he didn't have anywhere to go. So it says that he looked around, and he saw two boats. Now, these boats happen to be Peter's boats, and he was actively been fishing. But the first thing that we find is that these men were not coming to hear Jesus speak. And what I want to say to you is, if you're a pastor, you're going to have to find talent outside your church and not just inside it. So you're going to have your eyes open. Peter wasn't at the meeting. Peter was at work. But that gives us the first characteristic. When Jesus chose people to invest in, he chose people that were already busy. They were already doing something. One of the things that I've said for years is this. You can teach people a lot of things, but seldom can you teach them to work. If they weren't working before they showed up, they're probably not going to work after you invest in them. So if they just had this sit down, well, just talk to me kind of model, that's not usually going to be a high investment. When Jesus finds Peter, Peter's at work. Peter is busy. He's doing something. So look for people who are doing something. Look for people that are already making something happen. Now, they may not be your particular industry, but they're already making something happen. And because they're making something happen, it gives you their first clue. They already know how to work. And I would take you back to Acts chapter 13 and verse 2, where it says, "Separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work whereunto I've called them." And see, in there, what we're talking about is that there was a sense of work. He says, "Separate them for the work." And it's interesting to me, the word work comes before calling, because I've learned no matter how profound your calling is, if you don't work at it, you're not going to do anything with it. So number one, find people that are already busy doing something, that are making something happen. The second thing is find people who are responsible. They understand what responsibility is. See, it wasn't just that Peter had pulled up on the boat to the shore. He was mending his nets. He was going through meticulously, pulling all the debris out of his nets. He was going through and making sure that if there had been any tears in the nets, that they were being fixed. He was mending his nets. He was washing them. He showed the ability to be responsible, to take what he did seriously. And if you want to find where to invest energy, find people who understand responsibility. They understand that there's something that they need to do with a level of detail. And that level of detail is making and showing responsibility to the job and the task that they have at hand. So the first two are easy. Peter was busy. Peter was not only busy, but Peter was out there and he was mending his nets, and he showed that he was willing to take responsibility for his job. And we see that in him. and he is setting the criteria of what you look for in somebody who is going to be someone that you can really invest in. The third one is this: Jesus asked him to give his boat. Will you push your boat out? Now, this may seem like a small thing to you and me, but Peter was ending his day. And because he was ending his day, his work was over. Now, if he pushes his boat out, there are things he's going to have to do again that he's already done. And so one of the questions, if you want to find people to invest in, find people who know how to give. And what that means, they're willing to help even when there doesn't seem to be a reason to help. As best we know, there was no main insight here that was telling us that Peter really was catching on to what was going on here. But yet, in the middle of it, he was just willing to give. So generous people are where you want to invest. Now, after Jesus sees these three things, a busy man, someone who's responsible, and someone who's willing to give, he looks at Peter and he says, I want to help you. And he says, will you push your boat out further and cast out your nets? Remember, this is the guy who's been mending those nets. See, if you're not preparing your life every day, you will miss God opportunities. Because he was responsible, he's about to have a God opportunity. Now, Peter doesn't get it because, as we know, it's a shallow lake. The fish during the day can see the net. They swim away from the net. He's already fished, and he says, but we've worked all night. We've done this all night, and we've caught nothing. And so one of the things that we learn is that Peter asked Jesus some questions. Why are we going to do this? Why should we do this? What is the reason that we do this? And so in the middle of this, he was asking questions. And let me just inject the leadership side. A lot of people can't lead leaders because leaders will always ask you questions. And if you can't handle someone asking you a question, then you're not going to be able to have high proficient people around you. You're going to find that you are going to be out there all by yourself because leaders do ask questions. But then we also see in verse 5 that he says, okay, he listens. Look for people that are willing to take a step. They may shake their head, but they'll take their step. You know, Jesus tells a parable later on. He says, there were two brothers, and these two brothers, one of them was asked by the dad to go to work, and he said, oh, I'll go, and he gladly said it. And the other one said, I won't go. But then the one who said he would go, he didn't go. But the one who said he wouldn't go, he ended up going. And Jesus said, which one was the better one? And of course, it was the one that said no on the front end, but ended up doing it on the back end. And see, you've got to listen. And maybe at first, you don't want to jump on board, but that's all right. So let me give them to you. Find someone who's busy. Find someone who's responsible. Find someone who's generous. Put up with someone's questions. And find someone who's willing to listen, even when what they're hearing, they may question at the time. And then in verse 6, Jesus said, cast out your boats and your nets. He had said it in plural. Now, what he was indicating is that Peter had some partners in his business. And if you're going to invest in people that already know how to work with other people. Because a lot of people are good by themselves, but bad with anyone else. But most jobs require you to work with other people. And so as a result of that, what's going on here, he says, go out with your partners and do this. Now, Peter, again, is vacillating a little bit. As he vacillates a little bit, he says, man, we've already mended the nets. I'm just going to throw out one net. He didn't do what Jesus said. He partially obeyed. And what you're about to see is he's going to be blessed into a problem. Have you ever watched someone who gets blessed into a problem? See, God starts blessing somebody, and they don't realize the blessing isn't just for them. So they just think, I'm going to keep the blessing. And so someone comes to your church that's out of work, finds a job. Someone who has a bad marriage comes to church and starts getting their marriage right. And God blesses their marriage, blesses their job. But then because they're blessed, they get opportunities. And because they get opportunities, they don't pray about the opportunities to see whether it's God's opportunity. And one of the things I tell pastors all the time is that the devil will give you money to get you out of the will of God. I watch people all the time say, man, my business is doing so good. I just don't have time to come to church. I just don't have time. Now, before they were coming to church and now their business is doing good. Get this, before they were coming to church and their business was good, but now that their business is good, they don't have time to come to church. And then all of a sudden they'll come back and they'll say, hey, my business is falling apart. Why? You forgot what got you blessed. So, Peter partially obeys. He throws out one net, but he's about to have his net ripped open. And he's catching so many fish that he's about to sink his boat. See, the blessing of God can cause you problems if you're not willing to follow wholeheartedly with God. And so what does he do? He calls for his partners, what Jesus had said to begin with. Now, Peter, seeing this, and he has a history of fishing, and that brings to the next point. He's honest. He understands this isn't the normal fishing trip. And he looks at Jesus and he says, I'm a sinful man. He was honest about himself. Find people who can be honest with themselves. See, people will always say this. Can I be honest with you? And I look at them and say, yeah, you can. But can I be honest with you? A lot of people want honesty to be a one-way street. They want to be a person who's honest with everybody else, but never has an honest conversation about themselves. But Peter was an honest man. He says, I'm a sinful man. But then something else, he not only said, I'm a sinful man, he recognized who he was, but he recognized who Jesus was, and he said, Lord. He recognized authority. See, in all of our life, there are people around us that have authority. Now, they may not use that authority wisely, and they may not use that authority appropriately, but they have authority. And one of the things that you find out is that people who are worth investing in recognize authority and understand authority. Jesus said this when the centurion came to him, and the centurion answered, I'm a man with authority, and I'm a man under authority. He understood the authority factor. Now, what I want to say to you is, if you're going to be an effective leader, you always have to be an individual who has authority but is under authority. But Jesus takes this whole evolution of someone who is busy, someone who is responsible, someone who is willing to listen, someone who is willing to engage with others, someone who is honest about themselves, someone who recognized authority, And he used this as the basis to change him. He says, up to now, you've been fishing for fish, but I'm going to teach you how to have an impact and fish for men. Now, I say that to you because it's hard to change people that aren't already moving forward. And see, because Peter already had natural attributes, God could change them into spiritual attributes. And that's one thing I'm a big believer in. Find people who already have attributes and mold them and transform them into spiritual attributes. Every miracle starts with something. Make sure what you have working for you. And then Peter forsakes the past. He says, I'm going to give up my business, I'm going to give up my company, and I'm going to follow you. Find someone who is not bound to yesterday and is willing to be different tomorrow. Now, I just think Jesus was giving us criteria. People who are busy, people who are responsible, people who are generous, people who ask questions, people who listen, people who work with others, people who are honest with themselves, people who recognize authority, people who are willing to change, and people who are willing to say no to the past and pursue the future. I think this is a good guideline for spotting talent. So I want to encourage you maybe to write these down, maybe to go over them with your team members and say, let's be on the lookout for people who look like this. And if we find people who look like this, maybe you want to start a conversation with them. Maybe you want to engage them on some level. I think that's important. Thank you again for joining me. Please come to the roundtable, January 25th in Plano, February 2nd in Puyallup, February 27th in Orlando. Let me just remind you, when you listen to something, you add to your life, but when you're in the room, you multiply. Come and multiply. I'm telling you what we're going to do on your team has to be better before your church can be bigger. It's going to help you. And I need you to do everything you can to get involved. Go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com and engage there. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Gerald Brooks Leadership Podcast. If you'd like more information on Dr. Brooks's books, audio, or speaking engagements, please go to GeraldBrooksMinistries.com.